It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and it's so good to be sharing with you today. For about 3 weeks now, we've been studying my new book, The Grace Revolution, and it's my favorite subject, the grace of God. It changed my life some 40 years ago. I grew up in a lot of legalism and relating to God based on my performance, and one day I discovered the grace of God, and it so changed my life, friend. Have you ever noticed that we have very little teaching today on the subject of the heart of man? And many times the teaching that we hear is incorrect. There's only one verse in the entire Bible that explicitly mentions all three, spirit, soul, and body, in the same verse. And so oftentimes we end up with tiny bits of scripture combined with large amounts of philosophy. Now that one verse that I refer to is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 that mentions spirit, soul, and body all in one verse. And here's what it says. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, friend, this verse provides the clearest biblical foundation for understanding the threefold nature of man. Unlike many teachings that blend human philosophy with scattered scripture, we have to let the Word of God guide us and help us to understand truth. The spirit, soul, and the body. See, the spirit is the deepest part of our being. It's the place where we have communication with God and communion with God. It's here that we're made alive in Christ, and it's through the spirit that we experience God's presence and his voice. Now, the soul is really your mind, will, and your emotions. It's where our thoughts, our decisions, and our affections reside. The body is our physical vessel, the means by which we interact with the world around us through our five senses. But unfortunately, many teachings today blur these distinctions and they leave believers confused about how transformation truly occurs. Some elevate emotions, the soul, above the spirit, and that leads to faith built on feelings rather than on truth. Others focus on the body, emphasizing physical discipline, while neglecting the inner renewal that only the Holy Spirit can accomplish in our life. Think about the role of grace in transforming the heart. You see, without grace, our heart is hardened, it's cold, and it's resistant to God's love. A man once walked through a river in the middle of winter, and the water that had flowed freely was now frozen solid. He picked up a rock and he threw it at the river, but instead of sinking, the rock bounced off the ice. The once soft and moving water had now become hard and unyielding. But as spring approached, the sun grew warmer and something amazing happened. Slowly the ice began to melt, and what once was hard and lifeless started to soften, and the river began to move again, flowing freely, bringing life to everything around it. You see, our human heart is weighed down. It's got hurt and bitterness and can become cold and unresponsive, just like the frozen river. Our thoughts become resistant to God's truth, and our emotions become hardened by our past wounds, and love becomes difficult to express. But when God's grace shines upon a person's heart, it melts away the hardness. And grace softens our emotions, renews our thoughts, and it even transforms our desires, and it allows us to love freely, washing away anger, fear, and resentment. My friend, grace is not a one-time event. It's a work that continues day after day in our life. God invites us to surrender to his grace, to allow him to refine us and renew us and empower us. It is through this daily surrender that our spirit remains strong, our soul is aligned with His truth, and our body becomes an instrument of righteousness that God can truly use. I know I've been teaching for 3 weeks now on this subject of the Grace Revolution, and I truly hope you've grasped what we've been sharing, and I hope it's really touched your heart. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus gave this open invitation. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." See, I hear the cry of many today, and they're longing for the bygone days. They call it a revival. But there's another different cry that I hear rising up, and it's a cry not for a return to the past, but for a revolution, to go where no man has gone before. Our founding fathers in America did not long for a revival of English tyranny. They sought for an American revolution. They yearned for a destiny that the majority wouldn't dare to pursue. I believe for many, the thoughts that I have shared over these last 3 weeks, maybe they've challenged you intellectually. On one hand, you long to know if it's truly possible to live free from condemnation. And on the other hand, years of religious training and legalistic conditioning, they stand as an ever-present accuser, condemning you for even entertaining such grace-filled thoughts that you can trust your heart to God's grace. There was a man who inherited a beautiful garden. It had once been full of colorful flowers and fruit-bearing trees, and even a fountain of fresh water. But over time, the man became busy with other things, and he neglected the garden. At first, it was barely noticeable, just a few weeds here and there. But as the days passed, the weeds spread and thorns grew, and the once fresh fountain became clogged with dirt and leaves, and the flowers withered, and the fruit trees stopped bearing their fruit. Realizing what happened, the man called a skilled gardener for help. And the gardener came, pulled out all the weeds, he pruned the dead branches and cleared the fountain, and as fresh water flowed again and new seeds were planted, the garden began to flourish once more. See, friend, that's what our hearts are like. They're a garden that God can make flourish and make this world beautiful. Our thoughts, feelings, and our emotions, they're the plants that grow within the garden of our heart. And if we allow bitterness and fear and sinful thoughts to take root, they begin to choke out the love and the peace and the joy that God wants to grow in us. And when we allow God's grace to tend our hearts, He removes the weeds of sin. He heals our emotions and He renews our mind. And His grace waters the soil of our hearts and begins to allow the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness to begin to flourish in our life. Over the years, I've counseled many who feel the truth of the grace message deep in their hearts, and yet they struggle to let go of the legalistic system that has enslaved them for years, the religion that tries to keep them in a box and make them think they're not good enough and it'll never be. And now you might be wondering, Keith, where do I go from here? I've heard these teachings on the grace revolution, but where do I go from here? Where does this grace message lead me? The first thing I can do is offer to you Paul's advice to Timothy. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. When you study God's word and you begin to dive into the pages of Paul's writings, you will see that God has approved you. He's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. Remember to focus on the writings of Paul and allow them to affirm your understanding of grace. God has already approved of you because of Christ's suffering on the cross. He now sees you as holy and blameless. Your sinful condition was wiped away at Calvary. And if this is the first time you've encountered the message of grace, you'll begin to see the Bible in a completely new light. The grace-filled verses, which make up a majority of the New Testament, They'll just leap off the page at you. You begin to see them in a different light. Passages that once seemed confusing will suddenly make sense, like dividing the old from the new. Most importantly, you'll finally grasp the freedom that Paul wrote about in Romans 8 when he said, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death." Friend, to live even a single day free from condemnation is like breathing fresh air for the first time. And as you embrace this truth, Satan will lose whatever power he's once held over you. No longer can he torment you with your past, your present, and even your future. Remember, the fight we fight is the good fight of faith. To believe that you are who God says you are. Don't be devastated when your religious friends, they reject your presentation of grace. They want to keep you in the box of religion. And keep in mind that their hearts have been shaped by years of sermons that made them feel lower than a snake's belly. Legalism is not broken in a moment. It takes the kind of persuasion Paul used to free the Jews who had been bound by their religious traditions. Most important of all, make a decision you will not return to slavery. Paul writes this to the Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. He says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." See, the word gospel, friend, means good news. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit that you are now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Determine in your heart, my friend, that you'll not return to a works-based gospel, which is really no gospel at all." Now you might ask, who would return to legalism, Keith, after encountering the gospel of grace? Well, believe it or not, I see it far too often. You see, people become comfortable with rules and guidelines. They enjoy the parameters set for them by the local pastor who declares God's law in his unique style. I often equate establishing your heart with grace to the experience of leaving home when no longer were mom and dad there to make sure you had it all together. You probably thought once or twice about returning home, but eventually as you matured, you realized you could do things without being told. See, in no way am I suggesting that you leave your local church and simply do your own thing. God established the local church and it will be there until he returns. But I do believe you need to be somewhere that is teaching the message of grace and not a works-based religion. Meditate on these principles that I have shared until your heart begins to get established in grace, and then begin to share that good news with those around you. For me, writing this book that I wrote, The Grace Revolution, has been an incredible experience. It was written over the course of more than 2 decades, and now it's incredible to finally be able to share it. I encourage you to go by Amazon.com and purchase my new book, The Grace Revolution, so that you can go over these teachings again and again and get your heart established in grace. It's available in hardback for $15. It's available in paperback for $9.95, and you can get it for your Kindle as an ebook. Just go to Amazon.com and search The Grace Revolution, type in my name, Keith Manley, and it will come up. I've really enjoyed sharing this with you. May God richly bless you. Walk in grace.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.